It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of 2 John, the book of 2 John written by the Apostle John, the same Apostle John who also penned by the Holy Spirit the book of Revelation, and the book of 1 John and 3 John, and the book of St. John. This was written in the mid-90s AD. John here is stressing the importance of the love of God, but also the importance of discerning proper gospel ministers. This is a particular epistle that addresses what to do when lodging strangers and ministerial support, ensuring that individuals that we support are actually preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Back in the Bible days, there was limited lodging, and the houses of the saints were used as places of refreshment, as places of refuge, as places of encouragement, as gospel ministers would continue on their journey from city to city and from town to town. They would stop at the houses of the saints to receive refreshment, encouragement, and to receive lodging. And John here is writing this particular epistle to ensure that this particular elder lady knows how to discern between proper gospel ministers. Verse number 1, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. This particular scripture is speaking to the reputation of this particular elect lady, how she is blessed and has earned the right to be a minister of the saints, a minister of the ministers, if you will. Paul writes in the book of 1 Timothy, criterion on how individuals who have reached a certain age should be on the church rolls. Widows, if you will, who have no means of support, sons have died, husband has died, and has no visible means of income, the church was there to support her. And this particular criterion also speaks to this particular elect lady. It says here in 1 Timothy 5:10, she must be well reported of for good works. If she has brought up children, lodged strangers, washed the saints' feet, relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. So we see here that this particular criterion that Paul has for widows to be on the church rolls in 1 Timothy chapter 5 also speaks to the character of this particular elect lady. She is lodging strangers. Verse number 2, it says, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. This speaks of the purpose of the epistle. The purpose of the epistle is to highlight truth. Part of this truth is to discern between false ministers and true ministers. Those that are true ministers, to give them lodging, refreshment, and send them on their way. Verse number 3, grace be unto you, mercy, peace, from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. In the Pauline epistles and in the Johannine epistles, you will see in the salutations, grace, then peace. You will see this because you cannot have peace unless you first have grace. You cannot have the peace of God until you receive the grace of God. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 57, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter 3, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So we see here that a person must be reconciled back to God. That word reconcile means to be made friends again, to be turned from enemy to friend. God is no longer our enemy through Jesus Christ. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, then you are adopted into the family of God. You are sons and daughters of God. You can be a partaker of the peace of God because you have been a partaker of the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 speaks upon this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot have the peace of God until we make peace with God through Jesus Christ. We cannot be a partaker of God's peace until we be a partaker of God's grace through Jesus Christ. And that's why these salutations have grace then peace. For we cannot be a partaker of God's peace until we are a partaker of God's grace. Also in verse number 3, the importance of referencing the Son of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Bible days and in today's days, there are individuals and teachings that do not acknowledge the sonship of Jesus Christ. The sonship of Jesus Christ. This is not speaking of a literal sonship that Christ is lesser than God. This is speaking of position. This is speaking of inheritance. The first Adam in the Garden of Eden gave up the inheritance and the authority he had to the devil when he was deceived. And it took the second Adam, Jesus Christ, coming down in the flesh to take back that authority from the devil on the cross of Calvary. Being raised from the dead, he took captivity captive and have now the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Keys speak of access and authority. That's why it's important to acknowledge his sonship, his deity. He is fully God and fully man. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he saith, Let all the angels of God worship him. Whom? Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. This is Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. We are recognizing him as the Son of God, recognizing him as the Messiah, the Christos, the Sent One, the Redeemer, the Deliverer. We must recognize him as fully God and fully man. He came down from heaven to wrap himself up in flesh, that he may suffer, bleed, and die for the sins of the world, and be risen from the dead. He is fully God. He laid down his prerogatives as God in order to suffer as man to pay the price for sin. Another powerful witness on his sonship from God the Father himself. When Jesus Christ was baptized, Matthew chapter 3, it says, And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Recognizing Jesus Christ, deity, as the Son of God. Verse number 4, 2 John. For I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. John here is speaking of that they were led to Christ by your life and by your light. And he's rejoicing that the children are walking in truth, not just the biological children, but spiritual children, children that have been begotten by the Word of God, children that we have witnessed to, adults that we have witnessed to, and now they have been born again. And as a result, we have spiritual children in Christ Jesus, individuals that have been born again spiritually because we have given them the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to rejoice over our children, our biological children, and our spiritual children. Much like the prodigal son when he came home to the father, Luke 15, chapter 24, the Bible says, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found." And they began to make merry. We are to rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. Rejoicing over obedient children. The Bible speaks of how parents can receive great joy when their children are obedient. Proverbs chapter 23 speaks of this. "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." Yes, you can bring your parents joy and merriment when children are obedient. Even as adults, we can bring our parents in their sunset years merriment and joy in rejoicing when we as adults are obedient to God and do that which is right in His sight. Verse 5, "And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." This speaks of the commandment of love. This speaks to not a new commandment, for this commandment was written in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. It says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Jesus Christ quoted this same commandment in Matthew 22, when he was asked, "Which is the great commandment of the law?" Jesus said in Matthew 22, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and all thy soul, and all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." We are children of God through Jesus Christ and born of love. We are born of the Spirit. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, "The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." When we are regenerated, when we are born again, the Holy Spirit is birthed and baptized inside of us. We become new creatures in Christ Jesus. And now we have the Spirit of love and forgiveness, long-suffering and mercy, as long as we walk in the Spirit. And this particular commandment of love goes even further. For the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, "Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Matthew 5:44. This is speaking of love. Loving our friends, loving our neighbors, loving and praying for our enemies. Not condoning our enemies' behavior, but loving them enough to pray for them that God would turn them around and open their eyes. Verse number 7, 2 John, continuing, "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." This is what we spoke of before, back in verse number 3, the importance of recognizing Jesus Christ's sonship, the importance of recognizing His deity. For back in the Bible days, and even today, individuals believe that Jesus Christ was just a good prophet, just a good man, an ethical man, a moral man. But they do not believe that He is the Son of God, that He died for the sins of the world and rose from the dead. They believe in His teachings. They may follow His teachings from an ethical standpoint, but they refuse to receive Him as Lord and Savior because they refuse to believe that He lives as a result of being risen from the dead. The Bible says in the book of 1 John chapter 2, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ?" He is an antichrist, this antichrist spirit. Not the antichrist that will come during the great tribulation, but an antichrist spirit. Against Christ, against the anointing, antichrist, or substituting something else for Christ. It says here, "He is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same is not the Father. He that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. 1 John chapter 2, 22 and 23. It's very important to recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Christos. The apostles were asked that question, "Whom do you say that I am?" when Jesus challenged them. And they said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Deliverer, the Savior of the world." The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The foundation of Christianity is the resurrection. The backbone of Christianity is the incarnation. The foundation of Christianity is the resurrection. Jesus Christ being risen from the dead, living and can live inside of our hearts. And the backbone of Christianity is the incarnation. Incarnation, God in the flesh, coming down in the person of Jesus Christ, wrapping Himself in flesh that He may die for the sins of the world and be risen again. Verse number 8, 2 John, "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought or worked for, but that we receive a full reward." Individuals can lose rewards. Individuals can lose rewards. This is not speaking of works to be saved. This is speaking of works after we're saved. For the Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." If we are saved by works, then people in heaven are going to be boasting. Boasting on how they were a good Baptist or Methodist. Boasting on how they never missed a Sunday school and that they deserve to be in heaven. No, the Bible says all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible goes on to say, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." In other words, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 plainly speaks that we are not saved by works, but verse 10 speaks of, now that we are saved, we are to do good works, because it will show that we have the love of Christ in our heart. We are not saved by good works. It is not what we do to be saved. It's what's already been done on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss." Loss of rewards. "But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So there's going to be a time of testing. Testing on our faithfulness in Christ. And we can lose rewards if the work we do for Christ is built on wood, hay, or stubble. But if we build it on the foundation of Christ, where our motive is to give God the glory and not ourselves, then we have an everlasting reward. The Bible says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off." Romans chapter 11, verse 22. We must continue in the goodness of God, otherwise we may be cut off. Verse number 9. "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. This is speaking of abiding in the doctrine of Christ. We as the body of Christ should have these as common denominators. These should transcend all denominations. In other words, all Christians should believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the gospel declared by Paul. He says here, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." As Jesus Christ said himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." The Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Acts chapter 4. The Bible says in the book of Philippians, "Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Every spiritual knee, every physical knee, every spiritual tongue, and every physical tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ should transcend all denominations. It should transcend all races and cultures and creeds. It should transcend all denominational names and labels. For us as Christians should agree on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse number 10, 2 John, "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed." Here the elect lady is giving another warning to ensure that if she is going to help itinerant ministers on their travels, to ensure that they give the proper doctrine, preaching the proper gospel of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, do not help them. Do not even give them Godspeed. Paul gave this same warning and same admonition in the book of Galatians, chapter 1. "But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed." Paul is saying, if an angel come back and give you another truth, quote unquote, or another gospel, quote unquote, or another doctrine, quote unquote, let him be accursed. There is no other doctrine, no other gospel than the gospel of Jesus Christ. A gospel that we should all believe in, no matter what our denominational label may be. Our denominational label will not get us into heaven. We must be born again. It's not something we can join in. It's something we have to be born in. Our denominational label does great things in terms of helping people and spreading forth the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it does not provide access into heaven. Only being born again and having the label of being a Christian will allow us to be identified with Christ. Verse number 11, "For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." So John is warning once again that if she does not set a boundary between her and false ministers coming to her for lodging, then she is furthering their evil cause. If she gives these false ministers refreshment, if she helps them in any way, then she is furthering their false doctrine, because she is furthering the false prophet and the false minister that's coming. The Bible says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine." Yes, so we are to preach the good news, but we're also to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And that's what John is explaining to her. Set a boundary. Bid him not Godspeed. Otherwise, you are partaker of his evil deeds. Verse number 12, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. John is saying two things here. That he desires to come face to face, for there are some things that he needs to speak with them about that cannot be written. Some things that can only be said face to face. He's also speaking to the faith and hope and assurity that he will see them again. So no need to write. I will see you again face to face. Verse 13, the children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. The spiritual children that perhaps she had led to Christ that are with John, and the spiritual children that John has led to Christ, all greet thee with John together. The book of 2 John, speaking of the importance of understanding the love of God, but also the importance of discerning false ministers, false doctrine, and those that are true, providing them refreshment and lodging, and those that are false, not bidding them Godspeed, setting boundaries, ensuring that we are not partakers of their evil deeds or furthering their false doctrine. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from His love and kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you close your eyes and bow your head and repeat after me? Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.